Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Soulfulpreneur Talk Radio with your hosts, Rachel Archelaus and Megan Grandelmeyer. Merging spirituality and business on the Enlightenment Evolution Network.
Hi everyone, it's Megan Grandelmeyer here. Welcome to Soulfulpreneur Talk Radio. I'm here with my co-host, Rachel Archelaus.
Hello.
Hello, Rachel. And it is Tuesday, February 3rd, 2015, and we are so excited about today's show. We have a very special guest joining us in a bit, comedian and transformational speaker Kyle Cease. So he'll be on with us in just a bit. But you are welcome to join us in the chat on Blog Talk Radio. So if you have a free account on blogtalkradio.com, Rachel has the chat open today. And if you'd like to post a question there for Kyle, you can do that. So our show offers you guests and tools to help you live a purposeful, authentic, joy-filled life. And we bring you shows every Tuesday live at 3 p.m. And you can learn more about us at soulfulpreneur.com. And full is spelled with two L's. And we're also on Facebook if you search Soulfulpreneur on Facebook. And all of our shows are archived on iTunes and YouTube and Stitcher, in addition to Blog Talk Radio. And we are part of the Enlightenment Evolution Network, and this is a network for all things metaphysical. We have a fabulous team of hosts, and we have shows on every day of the week. And if you'd like to learn more about the network we're part of, go to Facebook.com and search Enlightenment Evolution Network, and you'll find their page, and they post lots of information on the shows that are coming up. And just our quickie disclaimer that any opinions we express on Soulfulpreneur, either by us, the host, or our guests, do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Enlightenment Evolution Network. So there's all that stuff, Rachel.
Good job, Megan.
So we are so excited to have Kyle Cease on the show. I've followed him for a while. I am a huge fan of stand-up comedy. Since I was a little kid, I just loved it. There used to be that guy on that old TV show from the 80s called Soap, and he had the puppet on his arm there, and the guy was really meek and mild, but the puppet was so nasty, and that was funny, and that was my introduction to what stand-up was. But I'm such a huge fan, and Kyle is just, he's so amazing, and I'm so excited to talk to him today, because he's really the only person I'm aware of that is taking his wonderful talent for comedy and going out and talking to people about waking up spiritually and about tapping into who they really are. And he just has such a magnificent way of presenting that while using comedy. So it's really awesome.
It's pretty remarkable. I was introduced to Kyle at Christina Morassi's event in LA. And it was definitely unique. And he fit right in with the group. We were trying to create a business that was an authentic expression of who we are, and his comedy and his humor really lightened everybody up, and I've been following him ever since. Yeah, it's just, we're very excited that he's here.
Yeah, that's great. So, all right, well, let me read the bio for Kyle so we can introduce our listeners. So Kyle is a keynote speaker transforming audiences through his unique blend of comedy and transformation. He has been a guest speaker at colleges, summits, and Fortune 500 conferences, including Agape International, Gate, Revelations, Sun Valley Wellness Festival, Sedona World Wisdom Days, and the Longevity Now Conference, among others. In addition to leading his own Evolving Out Loud live events, he has spoken with renowned teachers such as Eckhart Tolle, Jim Carrey, Michael Beckwith, Louis C.K., Tony Robbins, Deepak Chopra, Mary Morrissey, David Wolf, and thousands more. prior to being a transformative speaker, Kyle has had successful Comedy Central specials such as Weirder, Blacker, Dimpler, and he was a number one ranking on the network Stand-Up Showdown. He will soon be in print with Beyond Word Publishing. So many accomplishments. So, Rachel, do we have Kyle to bring on?
We sure do. I know it feels weird to talk about him when he's just listening. So, hey, Kyle, thank you so much for being here.
Hi, you guys. That's the best. You need to introduce me anywhere. Like, if I'm on a date, like, I think you should stand before me and tell her all about my credits and everything I've done. Like, the guy you're about to meet, you might have just found him on Match.com, but he's spoken with Eckhart Tolle and had the number one Comedy Central special. Everyone should have that before. Such a great... Because the bar is set so high now. Now I have to be really amazing.
You do.
But
yeah,
I like
the pressure's on.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me on Soulfulpreneur Radio. Because soulful and entre rhyme.
Yeah. Right. It is a mouthful. We like people to work on their spelling skills as well as their spiritual skills. So.
Yeah. Trying to find your website last night, I was like, okay, so first of all, how do you spell soul? Because, see, I am it, so I don't know how to spell it. And then full, I'm like, is that three L's? Like, we were trying to find you last night. And there's a lot of domain names near your name that are for sale. if you want to get them.
Yeah, I thought about that, and I've even thought about maybe we need to get something simpler like spiritualitymeetsbusiness.com and just go with that. Easier to spell.
Yeah, but I also don't know how to spell business, so I'd be equally in trouble. So.
Well, we'll buy it with the Z and with the S. And
yeah, get every version possible. Then I'd get it.
Exactly. So, well, Kyle, I personally have been listening to your Evolving Out Loud events on your website, which has just been so inspirational, and I love it. And I would love to just dive right into the whole topic of allowing yourself to evolve. And in particular, you know, there was one of your segments where there was a girl that came up wearing the green tunic. She was a radio DJ person, and she got up and started speaking with you, and I so identified with what she said, which was, I don't know what I want, is what she said. So like when you were asking people to just let go and start dreaming and using your imagination, and so many people, if you ask them the question, like, okay, you have $5 million, what would you do with your life? And they freeze.
So
you must have gone through something like that as well. Like, what made you start to just let yourself evolve, and how can we help other people do that?
Wow. Well, I can tell you that one thing that I know is true is that with that awesome lady, I remember her, her name's Sandy. One of the things that I've really fallen in love with is just the principle of, I don't know, and I'm okay with that. Because so many people are searching, and really when you're searching, you're going to be suffering because you're assuming the answer is somewhere other than you. And when she was saying, when we were saying, what do we become? There's so many people that ask questions all the time, like, you know, what is my purpose? I got to find my purpose. And I was talking with some friends about this yesterday, but what a burden it is to think that you have to find a purpose and that it's outside of what you're being right now. And, you know, we have this weird societal way that we measure purpose as something that fits into a box that already exists and stuff. And we don't realize that all the time we're doing something that's impacting people. We're walking into a room and making people smile. That's a purpose too. Just because you're not necessarily seeing what you're getting immediately for it, that doesn't mean you're not in purpose every second. And, so for me, this started, I'd done stand-up since I was a little kid. I started when I was 12 years old, and I learned how to be a comedian before I learned how to be a person. I started doing stand-up at 12. At 15, I started doing, like, corporates and comedy clubs. At 12, at 15, I would I would call the Chamber of Commerce and get the mailing labels from the Chamber of Commerce, and I would make a piece of paper that said, having a corporate party looking for entertainment, call Kyle Cease. And immediately at 15, I was doing corporates for Sears, Nintendo, Microsoft, and everything. And the reason was because I just was like, oh, how do I do this? And my mind had not been trained yet into thinking from a place of, there's a certain way that I have to do it. As a kid, we just only are imagination and possibilities. And so so for me, I ended up learning how to be a comedian before I learned how to be a person. What I mean by that is I could go on stage and get a lot of love. I ended up doing the movie 10 Things I Hate About You, and everybody liked me. And in my 20s, I didn't even feel worthy of talking to a person unless they knew that I was in those movies or a famous comic. And it was weird because we all the time think that who we are is our accomplishments or the person we're dating or the amount of money we made or our bodies. And if we attach ourselves to that's who we are, then when that falls apart, we do too, because we think that's who we are. And so I had years and years and years of being able to sustain getting a lot of external love for performing every night. And because of that, I didn't to go into the cocoon, because you've mastered being so good at being a caterpillar. And I think this is why we lose a lot of celebrities. You know, people say it's really hard to grow up and have, you know, life really hard, and that creates all these bad circumstances. I think it's just hard to grow up and have life be really good, too. That's why we lose a lot of child stars and things like that, because we haven't fallen apart enough yet to learn how to build our own creativity. And at one point for me, I created an anxiety in my late 20s. I started getting anxiety when I was on the road. I at one point did over 100 colleges in a row, and I ended up getting exhausted on the road, and I would go on stage and I would just kind of think sabotaging thoughts while I was on stage. I would just be bored because even though I was doing well outside, I could do my act in my sleep, but inside I wasn't creating anything new. And I believe very much if we don't keep creating, our mind will creatively sabotage us out of boredom. It'll just come up with ways that we could screw up. And so I ended up falling apart. I ended up getting an anxiety and a fear that going to ruin my comedy career. And that only mattered because I thought who I was a comedian. And my identity was about to fall apart. And it did. And the story of who I was kind of died. And the first thing I did was learn how to change my thinking, and for a while sustained it by changing my thinking like The Secret, thinking of What You Do Want, having a number one Comedy Central special and everything. And that went really well. But I still was a victim to my circumstances. I just was able to change them. And eventually, all of those things fell apart, where things out of my control happened. I basically, you know, I started becoming really positive in the comedy scene, and all the comics started attacking me. Because we live in a world where if you say anything positive, everybody thinks you're in a cult. You could say it's pretty outside, and everybody goes, what are you, a Scientologist? And you're like, I just said it's nice out. And then and you'll be like, hey, it's so I really like that guy. And people are like, someone's drinking the Kool-Aid. And you're like, I just thought that person was really nice. And so we live in this world where if you say anything positive, you're crazy, and everyone else can talk crap all day. And it's really weird. So I had all these circumstances outside of me that I couldn't control. Like thousands of comics suddenly formed an opinion of me that I've become this cult leader because I was just really positive. And I couldn't change that circumstance. I couldn't change that situation. And once that happened, I had to completely let go of control. And when I let go of control, I fell into this place and a realization that is what I live through now, which is you are what you love, not what loves you. And almost everything we're doing when we're trying to make something good, we're trying to get our talk good, you're trying to get this radio show ready and you want to say the right thing, all those things are us trying to get it good so that people like us. But if you go to a place of you are what you love, creating, you go to your childhood state, all you did was create and sing and play and pretend you were a DJ, but you weren't measuring your results. You weren't as a kid pretending like you were getting a ton of views on YouTube or, you know, that you were getting a bunch of money for it. You just loved pretending you were the DJ or the basketball player or the singer, and you did what you loved doing without considering anything first. And so what happened for me was I just started letting go of trying to make things good, and that created this space for the greatest content in the world to just come through. It created space for off-the-cuff stand-up shows that I never cared what they thought about it. I wasn't anticipating, so I suddenly was much more real and authentic and vulnerable. And even though I wasn't at all attached to what the results would be of it, they were way, way, way better. And so life to me shifted from motivation. Like, motivation is when you're going to make something happen and you're really excited about it. But you only do that because you're anticipating that when that thing happens, you'll be happy. And for me, what I realized is it's not when something happens, I'll be happy. It's when I'm happy, things will happen. And for me, I'm much more about, instead of making things happen, I believe we're more like helium balloons that are always trying to go up. And they're just caught on something right now. Like, the string's caught on what people think of us on Facebook, or what our ex is doing, or what, you know, something crazy. And if you just keep cutting the strings and letting go of all these things that aren't what you think you are, you make room to become what you're actually supposed to become. But you can't see that until you cut the strings for a while and let go of all these things that you think you need to make it. And once you let go of those things, you suddenly learn that you'll make it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I love the whole, like, you are your purpose. There is no outside thing that you should be doing, you know. We are it. And we have that natural trajectory of going up. It's just, and one thing I'd love for you to talk about a little bit is Gary. I don't know if you remember Gary, but...
Of course.
Yeah, you know, that's one of those little things that we can get caught on if we identify with that voice and give it power. So can you tell us a little bit about Gary?
So we all have this voice in our head. Everyone of us has a voice that says, you know, it's funny, the voice too. If we said these things to other people, we'd be considered abusive, but we say them to ourselves all day. Like, you,
that's,
you know,
very,
you're not
true.
You, right? Like, if you heard the things your voice says to you all day, it says, you know, you're going to suck when you go on stage, or people aren't going to like you, or you're really fat, or whatever. If you said that to someone you were dating, you'd go to jail. Like, you'd be in trouble for saying that kind of thing. And so, but the thing is, that voice still exists in all of our head. And the way to, I find, work with it is to fall in love with it. I think of that voice as a roommate in my head. And when it starts going, what if you screw up, or what if they don't like you? I just go, oh, that's just Gary. I just give it a name. And I feel sorry for any guy actually named Gary. But, like, I just say, oh, that's just Gary. And all Gary needs is you to love him. Because in a space of love, Gary doesn't exist. You're giving more power to Gary than yourself all day, and you don't understand that you are what is so powerful. And the second you give yourself love, Gary's purpose is to allow you to bring more of the love that you actually are into your body, and become a bigger space of love, to evolve to a place where Gary becomes a lot less existent. And what's amazing about Gary is he'll show up with something new and creative and more amazing to outwit your love, and you have to just keep becoming even more okay with it. So Gary is this great call to learn to allow, because Gary only exists in your resistance to Gary. Gary only can work in you thinking Gary shouldn't be there. It's you trying to stop Gary that gives Gary its power. In other words, right now, there's so many things that you're not attached to. But if I said, let go of the idea that the light bulb above you could fall on you, now you're holding on to that idea, but it was never in your view before. So when people hear to let go of something, they actually have to pick it up first. And Gary is something that isn't really a part of you. It's just a collection of thoughts. But if you can embrace Gary and love this voice, it doesn't work as well. And sometimes we forget for a while and think that we are Gary. That voice is like, what if you suck, or what if they don't like you? And you're sitting there going, you're right. Like, that's because you thought you were Gary for a minute. But if you identify yourself as this moment, and that you're just okay with this voice existing, it can finally move forward, because you're not trying to get rid of it. And so you have to become the space that's love, that matches that voice. And you always evolve. And you do it by holding still. You do it by closing your eyes. You do it by allowing. There's nothing that has ever sat still for a month with its eyes closed and not evolved. Like, if you don't distract yourself, you will always evolve. A caterpillar has to do absolutely nothing, and eventually it grows wings and all this other stuff. But really, the caterpillar was always a butterfly from the beginning, but it had to stop and hold still. And the same thing, you and I are unconditional love from the beginning, but we have to stop and hold still and listen and allow. And when we do, you start to identify all these things that you thought were you aren't you, and they leave. And, you know, it took Nelson Mandela 27 years of being in prison to become president. Like, it's just holding still and allowing. And you'll start to realize you're more than that. If something's growing the trees and your hair and everything like that, you got to connect with that, because that's the thing that can create the greatest business, the greatest relationship, the greatest health, the greatest voice, the greatest purpose, the greatest ideas. But you got to co-create with this moment and stop thinking it's about you achieving from this level.
I love that thought of, you know, something's growing your hair and something's creating the stars and the moon and Jupiter and all that stuff, and how we think we can outsmart that, you know?
Right, right. It's silly. I mean, yeah, you know, I was with a friend not too long ago, and we were walking on this nature trail, and there was concrete that was, like, paved over a certain dirt path, and we noticed that the trees that were growing next to it. You ever see where trees, like, the roots start going under the concrete and breaking the concrete apart?
Yeah.
And that's just a reminder that nature is stronger than man. And nature, when you connect with nature, nature moves so slowly that you can't even see what it's doing, yet it comes up with the most profound forests and beautiful everything. And when you allow and stop trying to make it happen and just let it happen at the pace it wants to, the most profound things in the world show up. And it's much more of a matter of you falling in love with yourself than falling in love with your results. That's a huge part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. You had a great example of that in your life.
What's that?
Yeah, I was just thinking back to the example in your life where you were part of that big management group, but you had the intuition to leave them, and everyone thought you were crazy. And then, you know, something. Yeah. Do you want to tell us that story?
Well, one thing I've discovered is everything that we think that we need to make something happen is often the reason we can't have the thing. So to give you an example, before I ever had an agent or anything, I went into two auditions for two different movies, and I didn't have a headshot or a resume or acting experience or everything you think you need to book a part. But because I didn't have that, it wasn't a problem. The other thing was that I wasn't in resistance to that I didn't have those things. In other words, I didn't know that I needed those things. Does that make sense so far? So
yep.
I was totally fine with the idea that I didn't have those headshots. Now, most people here, you can't just go out for a movie. You need to get headshots, and you need to learn how to act. You need to have a resume, and you can change this to anything. You know, you can't go get a job without this experience. You can't fall in love with that person unless you're this way. So we think we need all these things, and really all that does is put you into a resistance of where you are now. So if you instead can get to a place where you're okay with where you are, you can accomplish a lot of things. So I went into two auditions before I ever even had an agent and booked the movie without a being in the union, without a SAG card, without anything. I booked the movies. I booked the first audition of my life with 10 Things I Hate About You. The second one was for a series of Burger King commercials. The third one was for Not Another Teen Movie, and I was a main role in all those. And then later, I took acting classes, and they taught me how I have to be like this and this and this, and I got in my head. And then I got one of the biggest agencies in the industry, and my life started becoming about keeping them happy. So I would go into auditions in my head and try to sustain the agency, and I wouldn't book anything. And then at one point, I had this voice in me that felt that this agency was heavy. In fact, I even was booking colleges on the road on my own and creating my own Comedy Meets Transformation wake-up tour and booking all these colleges, and I had to pay this agency 10% of everything. And so they started feeling heavy to me. They felt out of alignment with me. They weren't involved with what I was doing, yet I had to pay them. And everything that feels like a weight in your body, even if it's a job you hate, in my eyes, you got to let go of it. Because you can always measure what you will lose. You can never measure what you will gain. So if you're wanting to let go of something, you're scared. You're scared of the loss of this relationship. You're scared of the loss of this job and the loss of the money. But you don't see what you gain. And what you gain is you lose one person in a relationship. You just gain 7 billion people if you're bisexual and willing to date everybody. And if you're scared of losing your job because it pays you money, but you don't know how much money you're losing by staying in a job that you don't like. So this agency felt heavy to me, even though it would make no sense to drop a huge agency like this. It would make much more sense for them to drop me. But there was a voice in me that said, they're heavy, let go of them. I had no proof of why. I had no understanding of what I would gain. I could only measure loss, but my body felt heavy with them. So I just felt let go of them, and I let go of them. And right after that, I felt so confident, because when we hold on to something that we don't need, we have to go to our mind to justify why we're doing something that's against what our body feels is wrong. Our body knows what to do. You can feel all the time the weightlessness that happens when you let go of someone that was bad to you, or when you let go of a bad job. You can feel the freedom of that. And if you feel what you're supposed to do, but you hold on to something, you feel heavy. You feel in an argument with yourself. You have to justify, I was going to leave this company, but, you know, they offered me a raise, so I'm going to stay. You have to tell everybody all day why you're staying there, because you know in your heart you're not supposed to do it. So then you cut your heart off and you use your mind justify all day why you're against your heart. And people don't listen to their heart, and they instead make everything outside of them a sign of the universe, right? They go, you know, I had a woman once say to me, I really, really need to divorce my husband. I want to divorce my husband, but I'm waiting for a sign. And I said, the fact that you want to divorce him is a sign.
Yeah.
That feeling is a sign.
Right? But don't wait till you drive by Divorce Your Husband Avenue. Like, actually feel the feeling, because that feeling that feels good when you picture leaving the company, it's a preview. It's saying it'll always feel this good when you do it. But we've learned to not listen to a feeling. We've learned to listen to a logical reason, but our mind only brings in the logic of what you would lose. So if you guys were, you know, let's go to an event next weekend across the country, your mind can see, well, we'd have to get plane tickets and a babysitter. It can't see that you might meet the love of your life or come up with an idea that could make $1 million or impact the world differently. It can't see those things, so it's not factoring that in. So whenever you're analyzing before anything, you're wasting your time, because it's never bringing in all the factors that are the true factors of what your decision is. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yeah. In fact, Megan and I teach this yes or no technique, which is the same thing. You know, the yes from your intuition is that expanded warm feeling in your body, normally in your chest, and that no is the heaviness and the contraction, and it is a preview. You know, it's like a direct tie into your higher self, who can see a whole lot more than our mind can.
Yeah, it's really true. And every time, and you can even see this in a practical way, every time you move towards what feels better, you can do things better. Do you notice, I bet every person listening has experienced at least once in their life being in a restaurant and being with friends and being like the headliner level funny for a minute, like telling a joke with the greatest delivery, just nailing the most funny thing you've ever said and having everyone laugh like in tears. We've all experienced that a few times in our lives. And if we've done that once, that means it's available. That means we always could do it if we wanted to. We just haven't tapped into that place. And the factor in what made that joke so funny was you were in a good mood. Because when you're in a good mood, you can make anything work. Anything. When you're in love with someone, you can make anything work. You could see all these reasons why you shouldn't be with them, but if you're in love, you're in love, and you start making logic out of this. You're like, yeah, you're in Africa, and I'm in America, and we don't have Skype, but, you know, we'll make it work. We love each other. You'll make anything work when you're in love. So think of if you're broke and you're really happy. You will come up with all kinds of fun, creative ideas and ways to make money and impact people and help people all the time. So your goal is to just become more and more happy and in alignment with what feels good, because there's so many magical things that happen when you cut the weight of everything else. It's amazing. I promise you I'm funnier than this. I have not given you any money at all.
That's not true.
It does exist.
Well, I have a question for you. When I started really what I call my spiritual awakening, which was very unexpected because I was raised very analytically, you need proof and logic, and I'm, you know, so I'm a recovering analytical. But one thing that really started to bother me was watching the news and having my daughter sit there in the morning with the local news on and beginning her day hearing about a stabbing here and a murder there.
Right.
And so I actually got rid of cable, and we now choose to just stream what we want. We're very, you know, careful with what we choose. And it's been 3 years, and it feels it's so good. But here's my question. So, and I know you could probably relate to kind of being like that and cutting that out of your life. But at the same time, I sometimes have this guilty feeling because I'm kind of clueless as to all these problems in the world. And so is that harsh of me to sort of not care and just focus on my circle? Or what's your feeling on that, and what's the balance there?
Well, I mean, one thing that's really interesting is, so we have all these circumstances going on in the world that are a lot of bad things and painful things, or whatever, however you want to label it, and they're really difficult. But you knowing about it and sitting over here and being in resistance to those things doesn't make it better. It just brings the same level of consciousness to the thing. You being in a place of love, whether you watch these stories or not, you being in a place of love and connection with yourself will bring so much more healing and humanity to it than you being in a place of resistance to it. You know, I think one of the things that, honestly, you know, when our government's doing corrupt things and we go out and protest it like crazy, that's good. But we're also in this place where we're in resistance to ourselves and we're saying something has to change over here for us to be happy. But if we're people that aren't happy unless something changes, that means we still haven't found our love in ourselves yet. And that means that even if we did take over the White House and the government and do all these things, we're still at the same egoic control freak power need place to run the White House, that we'll end up just taking over because greed and fixing is still the number one drive over love. And you being in connection and love to yourself, it's really, really helpful to the world because you can bring more intuition and love and power to the world. And I think there's a place even beyond not watching the news where you could still be in a place of love and not be affected by the news, where you understand that it's happening and you can be in a space of support and love for these people because there's so many things happening. But I also think we just need to become aware that the news has to sell things. There's a lot of corporate connection to the news, and you can't sell Prozac to people unless you first of all make them feel like crap. So even though 99% of the news around the world is good, we're going to select the bad things, and you can picture the murderer coming into your house like they showed the family in Florida or whatever, and then you feel like crap, and then they run all these products that you would never buy ever if you knew who you really were. So you have to make people feel like crap before you can get them to buy crap. Hey, that was a cool quote I just came up with. But you can't sell things to people that they don't really need. You have to get people to think, well, this beer will make you somebody, or you'll get love and attention when you wear these jeans. You have to first make them feel like they're not somebody first before you do that. So if people knew who they were, they'd be much more selective and less addictive with the things that they buy. So they'd be buying things that are forward moving and help the world and stuff, and love would be a much more amazing bottom line than money. But if you're at the top and you're in a strategy of how do we make money only, and that's your God, you will do everything you can to make people feel incomplete without the thing that you're selling them.
Yeah. So, well, great. I feel the same way, and I feel like it took me a few years of almost shutting myself out from this awful news, and I definitely do feel like I'm in that place now where I hear these stories or people tell me what's going on, and I kind of come from that place of love, like, oh my gosh, that's so sad they're going through that, and I wish them the best, or wow, I just feel like if only they knew how connected we are when I look at that people fight, and yet we're all the same at the end of the day, so you just hope that they wake up.
And I'm not a huge sports fan, per se. Like, it's funny to me when people are really worried about what a group of men not from that city do against another group of men not really from that city either. And it's funny when we attach the word we to a football game, like when we say we won. If you paid money to be there, you weren't part of them. You don't go to the movie Titanic. You don't go see the movie Titanic and leave and go, we drown. But what's so fascinating was I did watch the Super Bowl this year because the Seahawks have been meditating like crazy, and I wanted to see if that would play into it. And what I did notice was almost every commercial came from a place of compassion this year. There was even though some of the products are still McDonald's and Pepsi and stuff, there was so much more compassion and love in almost every commercial. And I just feel like this is the most exciting year so far because things are shifting. People are waking up. We're connecting through YouTube and here, and we're talking. And in the 80s, we couldn't be doing what we're doing right now, you know? And like what we literally, this group on this call, are doing. And people are able to communicate not just through the news. And there's an awakening and an arising of people learning what's really true more and more and more inside themselves right now. And it's so exciting. Like, I think that compassion and truth are going to very quickly right in front of us become louder and more important and more priority than control. And it's the structures are falling everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to your point also about, you know, finding that happiness within you and really just connecting in, the more you do that, the more you can see of the change around us. You know, the more compassion you'll see and love that's already there. When we get stuck in that victim mode, it's hard to see the helping hand and, you know, the good signs. And so it really is all about your state of being and really how you're choosing to feel on a daily basis. It starts with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you completely on there. It's 100% the only way to do it. It's weird how much it starts with you because I was doing an event recently, and I had people write out all these things that they understand and these things that they know to be true from their experiences. And people wrote tons and tons of things. And they were having all these insights about, wow, this is an idea for a business, and starting to realize that every person in the world could probably write 10,000 books right away from their experience. No matter what you've done, you could write a book. If you've had a 30-year relationship, you could write a book on how to have a really amazing relationship. If you've been through tons of breakups in the 30 years, you could write books on how to handle rejection or how to keep going. And all these people wrote out all these things, and they got so excited about the ideas. And I said, you need to get that these ideas came from you. You can spew this stuff out all day if you want. If an apple tree made an apple and then got obsessed with the apple, it wouldn't be able to make more apples because it's like, look what I did, everybody. And it's pointing at the apple versus focusing on doing what it's here to do. Like, you can spew this stuff all day, but we've got so good at making everything but ourselves so amazing. We've got so good at making the idea or the problem or the person we're dating or the job or whatever more important than what we are. And that's how you form an addiction. You make something bigger than you. And you think, when this thing happens, I'll be happy. Or when this thing is fixed, I'll be happy. But it only can exist if you've taken the focus off of how incredible you are. And when you do that, you repress yourself heavily.
Yeah, well, I mean, a great example of that is just having you on the show. When Megan and I started, we wrote down a list of all the guests we'd love to have, and you were on there. And it took us about, I don't know, 5 months or so to just be like, why don't we just ask him?
Right.
And you know, along with all the other people we're having on this year, people who we thought were out of our league or we were scared because we had just started the show. And we had to overcome that thought of levels and, you know, putting people above us or we're not good enough or we haven't done it for long enough. And, you know, it just doesn't really matter when you realize that everyone is a person. You know, they can say yes or no. It's all right.
Well, and think of what you were putting out energetically to say someone is better than you. First of all,
yeah.
Immediately in that perception, you're saying who you are is your past. I mean, really think about this. You, me, Obama, a homeless guy, all have everything in common except for our stories, right? We all have a heart and a body, and that's it. We're just an unlimited possibility. Our limitation is when we see ourselves based on what our past was. So someone who thinks who they are is someone who makes $50,000 a year based on what they've made so far will actually cut off their ability to make $1 million a year because they think it's out of their league. So they won't move from that space anymore. They will move from the space of maybe I'll make $52,000 this year or whatever they can see as a little stretch from this mediocre limitation they've placed on themselves. And you are just this moment, and so am I. I know that to be a fact. I just have handed that proof to myself through massive amounts of meditation that there's no way I could be my belief system because my beliefs change all the time. And when they change, I still exist through all of them. And there's no way that I could be my body because that changes all the time and I exist through all of it. So there's no way you're your past. It's physically impossible. And you're just this moment. And it would be a lie to think that we couldn't do something that someone else did. It's only the truth based on you thinking who you are as your past. So allow yourself to be this moment and then realize you have no difference than Eckhart Tolle or Bob Proctor or anyone that's amazing and alive.
Yeah, it's so true. I find myself sitting sometimes and I'm like, okay, it's now. And I'm just floating through now, you know, like a dinner, it'll be now. Right now, it's now. It's fascinating to look
right.
at it. You're just always there, and that's what we are. It's so profound. But I have a question for you, which is, you know, we grow up and we have families and we get conditioned into being, you know, very analytical or logical or whatever it is, and then somebody like me, who suddenly just goes through this profound shift, and I know that part of that was. Giving up a few things in my life and just, I know I made space for this change. And now I look at everything with a much more expanded awareness, much more compassion and no judgment. But it's hard to sometimes hang out with people who I used to love to hang out with. And now I feel so different. Do you run into that? Like it's hard to sit at a conversation and have so much negativity go on and I don't want to...
Honestly... As I keep moving in this world, a lot of those people are not in my eyesight anymore. In other words, it's like almost like an analogy a speaker named Bashar says that I really like is that picture it like TV channels, right? Like when you go to your house, if you turn on the TV, you'll go to channel 4 or channel 100. All the channels exist in your house, but you can only see what channel you're on.
Mm-hmm.
So you're on channel 100 where you're around people who make millions of dollars or they have a really special purpose or they're in their place of connection to their soul, it will be the norm to you to be around that. But if you are on channel 2 where you're only around people that think that way, you'll only be around that. And meanwhile, the other people are totally available to talk to, but you have yourself on channel 2, so you don't see yourself worthy of being around the channel 100 people in your life. And my belief this year for me is that butterflies really need to give themselves permission to stop connecting only with caterpillars. And I don't mean it in a condescending way, but what I mean by that is a caterpillar, in my eyes, is someone who maybe has had some emotional problems but hasn't worked through it yet and still thinks who they are is that limited trauma or that limited thing, and they think who they are is this person that was a victim to something. But when you at one point go through a shift, you let go of these stories and you start to realize you're just this moment, you become a butterfly. But the thing about being a butterfly is it in an egoic place, it can feel very lonely because you realize you don't need anything to make it happen now. You feel really good. You don't need certain friends. You don't need certain money, you don't need agents, you can just make it happen. And that can be at times really lonely. So what we do is if we hang out with other butterflies, they're in their purpose too and they feel really good and they can co-create with you. but our egos really like to create problems to overcome. In other words, many of us can see that obviously going on a juice fast or eating really good, healthy, organic raw food will just make you become healthier. It's just obvious. And sometimes we still go, yeah, but I'm going to eat this really bad food so that I can overcome something later. It's like we create a problem so we can fix it. I'm going to watch this movie, and almost every movie is a guy or a woman starts out normal, goes to crap, then comes back up to normal again. There's no evolving or anything that happens. And so we're balloons that are always going up, but it's scary to go up. So we keep batting the balloon down so that it goes back up to the same place we were at the beginning of the day. And so what we do is the same way we eat food that sabotages us, we also hang out with the people that sabotage us, because it's scary to just become so floaty free and amazing. So we feel like we need to hang out with people that'll put their claws into us and make us feel like crap. And so then we find people that we can date, that we can fix or whatever. And our real power is when we start hanging out with other butterflies and giving ourselves permission to be endless. And my calling to butterflies is allow yourself to be a butterfly this year. Like, stop asking caterpillars to change because you want to change. Stop eating caterpillar food and watching caterpillar entertainment and having conversations with a caterpillar because they actually literally, legitimately believe the problems that they have that you know are illusion. Don't join them in that conversation. Love them and let them go through their thing. Let them go through whatever low they need to go through because that's what got you to where you are. And really allow yourself to do what you know you're here to do and let yourself go through a couple weeks of the pain of shedding any egoic place and start creating and become magic.
I
truly
love the butterfly caterpillar analogy. I think that's awesome. That's so awesome.
Me too. It's kind of cool, right? Like
it is.
Yeah. And I actually have something on my whiteboard here in my office that I got actually when I was out in California last year or 2 years ago almost. And it says, just when the caterpillar thought the world was over, it became a butterfly, which I love. Yeah, which I love. And, so I love
but
that especially because
A caterpillar's world actually has to be over for it to become a butterfly. I mean, it really has to go, okay, I really actually am going to sit and allow the falling apart of the caterpillarness, and your mind will do everything it can to sustain itself and keep it there, and you have to realize that you're a butterfly waiting to happen and connect more to the open possibility space versus the loss of what you were.
Yeah.
You know, another thing I'll add to that is, like, a lot of people who are butterflies, you know, they've gone through that transformation and they'll often feel like they kind of owe it to the caterpillars to give them, you know, keep them going, to help them through it. And I also agree with you that that's just another way that the ego is trying to keep them in the same place. Sony Choquette told me a very similar thing a few months ago, just to, you know, it's okay to just create for yourself. You know, there is no obligation to anyone else. Adults can take care of themselves, and that's a really beautiful reminder of that. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, it's really true. When we go through our shift and then all of a sudden we want to help everybody and we want to change the world, we say we want to change the world. I think that is like the vaguest sentence that actually is an excuse to not change the world. To say, I'm here to change the world, you're saying you're going to look outward again and change things outside of you. You cannot do it. You cannot be a caterpillar and turn everything else into butterflies. You have got to constantly connect to yourself, connect to your meditation, create, and watch as that day you have all these new insights and you can share from a new exciting place and make, then you as a byproduct impact people. But if you're on this diehard thing to make the world better, you're implying there's a problem with it. And when you fall in love with yourself for real, you evolve beyond that place. You see that everything's okay. And I said something the other day that ended up feeling really cool. when you're in your ego, you'll think that the world revolves around you and you'll realize you're wrong. But when you're in your soul, you'll realize the world does revolve around you. When you move from your soul, everything wants to work with you. Everyone wants to know how you got there. Everyone, and everything is answered on how the world will change around you. You're not sitting there catching the results of how many likes, how many books you sold, whatever. You're creating because you're in love with the creation. And that's where your happiness is, not in the results of the creation. So when you really change the world, you'll barely notice you did it. Because you'll be so excited that you are changing you and the way you see the world, it will start moving around you because you're changing your channels. And all of a sudden, you'll only befriend and impact people around you. And you'll suddenly have people that are doing it too. But if you're just teaching people how to do it by regurgitating other people's content, you're giving other people permission to do that. Become teachers and regurgitate other people's content versus living it.
Yeah, I remember you making that comment in the Evolving Out Loud material I was listening to, and I wrote it down because it's been my pet peeve for so long. People teaching about transformation, but they haven't really gone through it yet. They haven't authentically changed.
So
they kind of like the sound of these things that they've read, and they pick the highlights, and they go out and teach it. One of the classic things I would run into, because I'm also a small business owner and I do some website design, and so I go out networking and all that, and there's a lot of people that are life coaches and they want to coach you into a six-figure income. And if you ask them, well, are you making six figures? They'll say, well, no, but I'm on track to. I'm like, well, if you haven't done it, why are you teaching me?
Right. I mean, it's insane. It's like asking an alcoholic to teach you to stop drinking. It's like,
because they've read the AA books or whatever.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is for me last year, I had to even shed my resistance to that other people were doing that, because I know that in that process, the truth will always rise to the top. They're not going to fake out that many people. You know, those people will be the ones that it just... It's beautiful. You can't fake out the universe or your soul or anything. And you can maybe do a few seminars and you can have some big sales, and then you'll get suddenly half of them returned and the other people won't come again. And you'll realize that just historically shown, everyone who's really truly been known for living it and impacted the world, they weren't faking it. And it always history will show who really is living it and who's just saying that stuff. And what's great now is the world's BS meters are through the roof, and we smell it right away. And, you know, I was asked to do someone's event not too long ago, and it was so full of that kind of thing. It had, you know, it was just about how to make money, and most of what he was talking were really scammy, slimy tactics, like buying views on your website or creating the illusion that you have a bunch of followers already when you don't. Like, all kinds of just lying, basically saying create a giant sizzle and don't worry about the steak. Well, you're going to create a fake foundation. There's no foundation under that. And when people see 10 million views and then go read your book and they can sense both the BS in it, it won't be sustainable. And if we spent more time connecting to our soul and meeting ourselves at the deepest core, the byproduct is a true, real foundation will build itself in its time based on what you're being, not what you're doing or saying, but what you're being. And it will be a real foundation. It will be a real thing. So I've learned, even in me being annoyed that those people were existing, was me still, that was something that I had to find in me. What do I not like about myself? Is there anything phony about me in this? Because, you know, because we only are annoyed about things that we're doing. And when you're really, when you're really, truly in the highest self, you're fine with what's happening. You see the beauty in those people existing so that they can go through whatever they need to go through, their own lows, whatever. And you don't have judgment for it.
Yeah. Awesome. So did you have, like, really awesome parents that just didn't give you a lot of conditioning, because you said that, you know, you weren't afraid to just go out and be a comedian. So what was that like growing up? Were your parents like kind of awake, or as I call it?
We have my mom, Bambi. Her name's not Bambi. We call her that because she's a stripper, and her mom was killed by a hunter. So we thought that would be a good name for her. But she, so she, but my mom, my situation with my parents couldn't have been more perfect. Whether it looked perfect or not, it was the greatest thing ever. My dad's side of the family, my dad was always creating new companies. And he, every company that I ever saw, he created out of thin air. And my dad's uncle was the prop man for the 80s comedian Gallagher. And my dad's mom, my grandma, was a legendary puppeteer. She was on the Carol Burnett Show, and she was just very, very amazing. And she's still alive. She's now meditates full-time in Sedona. It's really interesting. And so they always were the space that, at least one thing I knew to be true, it's easy to create my own anything. It's just a given that's normal. They never told me it was. They just always lived it. And I just walked into this world where anyone was famous in the family or able to achieve whatever they wanted to. And then, you know, my mom had this perfect combo of really proud of my talent and, in a good way, you know, a little bit of cynicism about how it would go. Like, if I would create something, she'd go, well, we'll see how it'll go. And that made this, like, carrot at the end of the stick for her to be proud of me. And I would create massive, massive things, and I'd go, how about now? And she'd be like, well, we'll see. And I'd be like, aren't you proud of me? And she'd go, yeah, it's good, but, you know, and I'm like, I'm number one comic, and yeah, but it's all right, but we'll see. And it made me constantly, I moved from her to 300 strangers a night, eventually, trying to get their approval, and then women I dated, and now it's finally gone back to me. And weirdly, as I've connected with myself, I've gotten more I'm proud of you from my mom because of my connection to myself, not my seeking it from her. It's once again another example of when you're seeking it from someone, you're not going to get it. You got to fall in love with yourself and let them match you.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I had the opposite experience, but that's for another show.
What was your, what do you mean? Tell me yours.
Well, it was just kind of, I mean, I have wonderful parents and they love me very much and they're awesome, but they come more from the standpoint of, you know, life is a material world and you need to get an education and get a job that makes money. So, you know, forget about being a cook or a photographer. Engineering is where it's at. And so I went to school and I went to engineering. And when I look back at my 5 years in college and going through all these engineering classes, I was so uncomfortable the whole time. But that was normal. That was normal to me because I didn't know I could listen to myself or that weird gut feel was me not being
right.
In the right place. But obviously this was part of my journey.
Sure. I would say from what I'm hearing, I mean, I'm sure you've been doing this work a lot, but your highest calling right now is to fall in love with that story. That's why they did that and everything. And just be in a place of like right now, just being like in love with the fact that they did that, because you could go through their blueprint easily and figure out what security they were trying to create for you. And, and you can just go, that was perfect that that's the way it is, and be in no resistance to it and no wishing that it was different. And you will create a space for possibilities to come through, because the only reason possibilities at any point can't come through is us being in resistance to one thing or wanting one thing in particular, blocking the unlimited nature content that's trying to come through. And it's blocked every time we go, oh, my parents did this, or it should have been different, or, you know, if only I had this agent. One thing I didn't mention was when I finally dropped that agent, I ended up booking a bunch of movies by dropping the agent. Like, the people you think you need to have, when you let go of it, you suddenly create space to have unlimited things. So it's, you don't need one circumstance to be different. It was perfect.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I think I'm still working on the whole, now that I woke up, it's hard to look back because there is that frustration of, darn it, if I had woken up 20 years ago, how different things would be, but I wasn't supposed to. So I'm still learning to be in love with that idea.
Yeah. Or just the part of you that's still learning to be, that voice that said that, fall in love with that. like that goes, I'm not quite there yet, I'm pretty close. That's still another voice, and you're the space that's in this moment right now that voice showed up in. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, and
yeah.
You just, the idea that there is a there somewhere else is so amazing. The idea that, you know, I'm getting close to being there. No, you are there. A thought process just came through that said it's not here.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like,
it does.
People that say, I'm going to get in the moment. You are the moment. There's all of this trying to get is what's blocking you. When people go, I'm going to love myself more. You are love. You can't love yourself more. You can shed all the parts of you that are ambitious and trying to do something, but you are love. You just need to sit back and allow. It's not, there's no achieving. You can't orchestrate your own surrender.
Mm-hmm.
You just sit back and allow, you know?
Yeah. You're so awesome, Kyle.
Did you like that? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I'm going to listen back.
Are you proud of me? After all that, I'm like, are you proud of me?
That's right.
You did
my
so
approval,
good,
Kyle.
Good job.
I hope mom's listening.
Yeah.
Great.
Wow. I can't believe it's already been an hour. This conversation has flowed so beautifully, which we knew it would, with you. How can people get in touch with you?
So I do events all the time. I'm starting to, my favorite thing is I do these events called Evolving Out Loud. And the reason they're called that is if you've ever given someone advice and then you learned from it, have you ever done that? Like you're telling someone advice and you realize the advice isn't even for them. Like it's not even what they asked you. They'll just be saying something like, I'm getting a stomach ache. And you're like, I think you should break up with her. And they're like, I'm single. You realize that you're giving yourself advice. And if you give someone advice and then you learn from it, that means there's two of you. And so I do these events called Evolving Out Loud, where basically I extrovert advice to myself through the audience. And it ends up becoming the most authentic content in the world because it's me going through the intricate places in myself and in my soul on a level that everyone really understands it. And it's very effortless and it's very fun. And the byproduct is, by the end of day two, the audience is all in this place where they're out of their head and into their heart, and it really impacts their business and their relationships, and they end up letting go of things that don't align with them and identifying all these lies they've been moving from. And so these events are really, really special. There's a streaming version of it online on my website. It's kylesteep.com. The publishing company Beyond Words has just released a DVD of me. It's coming out, I think, this week. It's called Transformity. I have products called 21 Days to Creativity, which is like, it's like P90X, but for your mind. There's probably 100 YouTube videos up. I have a podcast. There's so many things I'm forgetting to tell you about, but there's an unlimited amount of ways they can see me. They can write me at, or my assistant if they want to get me really quick at Carrie@KyleSteep.com, KARI@KyleSteep.com. She brings everything to me quickly. I work with businesses and schools and everything. You know, when you undo all these labels in yourself, you start to find a million ways you can work and create because you're not trying to figure out the right way to do it. There is no right or wrong way. And I love just co-creating with people and making their ideas or their businesses better and having people at my events. So just if you not even know why you're writing me, but write me at Carrie@KyleSteep.com, you'll be blown away by us co-creating together and the results that can stem from that. But you just got to be open and ready to go. So that's the way people can connect with me immediately. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter and every other thing like that. So
Fabulous.
Did you say people? Yeah, and wow. Did people have questions? I heard we were doing a couple of questions and answers afterwards, or are you guys not doing that?
Yeah, no, we can if you have time.
Yeah, I think we do, right? You know what's funny is I don't have signal in my house, so my team and I got in my car and we've just been driving around Thousand Oaks and Calabasas on the phone with you.
Aww.
It's been really fun, actually.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Well, we do have a question from our Facebook page, and this person, Joel, asks, what are some good tips to make the most of your time you spend practicing or bettering your craft? As a musician, I want to practice as much as possible, but find myself distracted often and not as fully focused as I'd like to be. What are your suggestions or tactics for making the most of my productive time?
Awesome. Well, first of all, I would say that you could only have distractions if you think anything outside you is more important than you. In other words, you're making your source of happiness outside of you. You're distracted by the love you're getting on Facebook. And by the way, as I said, I give this advice to myself. This is all stuff I'm learning too. But you're just, when he says he's distracted by other things, first of all, he's choosing to be distracted. You understand nothing can really distract you unless you give your power away to that thing. And he really also needs to take in that he's the source of where this music came from, and not get too excited just about the music that comes through, but the fact that it came from him, and fall in love with the idea of creating. And he asked about the, you know, working on your creations and your craft. Work on you and know that the byproduct will be amazing, better talent, content will just come through. We spent a lot of our lives putting the cart before the horse, trying to make our act better, trying to make our content better, trying to make our show better, and trying to make our interview better or our date better. Dude, if you fall in love with you, one way to do it is go when you wake up in the morning, before you even go on Facebook or anything, sit up in your bed, close your eyes, and do nothing for an hour. This is a really insane process because these voices will start coming up going, is this working, blah, 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 blah. And you just sit there and be a space for it, and you realize that who's talking? That's scary. It's not you. And you start to fall in love with the voice. And it will start to leave because you're not in resistance to it. And in that, you start to clear out portals of creativity inside of you that are so massive and powerful. And instead of working on the art of the music, work on you. And then in that playful state, then start just singing what sounds good inside you. Let yourself channel. You know, don't think about how can I get good music. Fall in love with the music. The difference between, you know, artists that don't make it and Stevie Wonder, it's Stevie Wonder almost looks like an antenna. That's why he moves his head like that. He's picking up the most amazing music in the world, and he's falling in love with himself and the music that's coming through. Don't fall in love with how can I get people to like me. When people go, how do I write a good song, they usually look at what are hits and what's been done already, and they look at 92 million songs that have already been written, but there's billions of songs, an infinite amount of songs that haven't been written. And they will be better and better and better the more you fall in love with the music that's coming through you and not the results of the song. Because then if you do it from the results, you're doing it from your head. You're doing it from what's the right way. And the right way implies you're in lack without results, which means you're going to write from a place of lack. So instead, fall in love with you. Sit back and listen as songs come through and love the songs and then sing it into your recorder. And then let the song come through first, though. Don't sit at the piano and start hitting chords and hoping they work. Let music come in and then play the chords, sang into the recorder. But make sure you fall in love with you and the music that's coming through first. There's a reason that the greatest musicians in the world, almost all of them sing about love and consciousness. Like, Stevie Wonder is always singing about love, and so is Earth, Wind, and Fire, and they're all saying conscious and aware. That's because they are. And in that awareness, the byproduct of amazing music comes through. So that's my advice to him.
That's awesome. Fabulous. You know, there's a book called Stargirl by Jerry Spinelli. It's a young adult book. It's, you know, probably written for 8-year-olds, but there's a story in there about this girl who does things her own way and is, you know, kind of an outcast and does remarkable things, you know, for her neighbors and for her community. And then, you know, she runs into liking a boy and trying to fit in for him, and things kind of go downhill for her. And it just explains her story of coming back up and aligning with who she is. And it's just a beautiful, really easy read that illustrates that really well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds really good. It's all about that. And when I say fall in love with yourself, I don't mean egoically and see yourself better than other people or just as a rock star and everyone loves you. I mean, really, truly show the world or the space that you trust it by allowing thoughts to disintegrate, by loving them more than you ever had before, and allowing yourself to actually co-create with something in the universe or in your soul or whatever you want to call it, by truly allowing and being patient and letting the results come through when you finally created room for it. You can't fake out the universe.
Yeah, and we're also big fans of Bashar, and really, you know, if you're familiar with that, we are the universe, and we are everything that we see in our life. So, you know, if we go back to us and channeling our own greatness, well, that's what we're going to see on the outside, too.
You'll like this. The other day, I was working with one of my students. There's people that work with me a lot because they're going to be doing, I have people that really have a voice. I start helping them develop it, and they speak at my events and stuff like that. And I was with my assistant in the car the other day, and we were just driving around, and I had him run his talk by me. And I pulled up into a parking lot in Calabasas, and this was like 3 days ago. And a car pulls up right in front of me in Calabasas, and Bashar gets out of the car. and then he walks right by my door. So I realized, well, I rolled the window down, I opened the door, I said, Daryl. And he said this was happening to him all the time. And so we switched numbers. And I had just been thinking, I just had lost his phone number. And we switched numbers and talked about him coming to another event. But it was so funny because we were in an abandoned part of a parking lot, and we just suddenly were parked eye to eye with each other.
That's great.
Crazy. It happens to me all the time.
Wow. Yeah, isn't that kind of what happened with you and David Wolf?
Yeah. Wow, it's cool you know that. David Wolf and I bumped into each other at least 8 times in totally bizarre places, on the freeway, on, you know, like by my house up in Calabasas and on the road. I mean, we bumped into each other all the time. And then whatever I was heading towards, he'll join me. Like, we're on the freeway, and I honk my horn, and he looks over, and he goes, where are you going? And I said, I'm performing at the Improv right now. And he goes, well, I guess I am too. So he just followed me there and sat in the audience. Because, you know, when you feel what you want to do, you have to do it. Don't consider anything else. Don't go, you know, shit, is this the right decision or whatever? You feel what the most exciting thing is and do it. That's basic Bashar content too.
Absolutely. You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you ever get into reading any of the Seth material, Kyle?
And what?
The Seth material by Jane Roberts, the channeled material.
I know who that is, but I have not. No. But I know who it is, but I haven't heard any of it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Somehow my journey led me there and early in the journey, and I didn't even know what channeling was at the time. Now, of course, I do, and it's fascinating. And I know when you talk to your audience, you talk about how there's two of you. There's like the Gary or the ego, and then what do you call it? Like your higher self that you're connecting to? What do you consider?
I think it's what we actually are. I think there's no way that you're the Gary. Gary is just a collection of past beliefs or things that it learned from another thing. We're just identified with the wrong thing. And what's really, in a way, exciting to me about what I'm doing is, usually people that do things close to what I'm doing, they're called channels, and there are these people that are, you know, connecting to an alien, they say, or a collection of entities or whatever, and that's great for them. The downside is the public, they hear that, and they think, well, that person has something special, and I wish I could do that. And what I really want to get to people is to understand that channeling, or whatever you call it, is just what we do all day. When you go to a restaurant, you don't have a set list and try to make something good. You just talk about what you're feeling for real. And that's channeling. You're just saying what is new content in the moment. And it's not some big airy-fairy vortex-only thing. It's just saying something without trying to make it good, saying what your truth is. And it's weird to me because I don't know many people that, you know, most people that they either say they're channeling or they're here to teach you how to achieve something. So all their content is pre-written and they think who they are is their content. And I really believe we need a balance between, I don't mean this with judgment, but we need a balance between lazy and crazy. Like we need to just get that we're unlimited beings and not take ourselves so seriously at the same time and just sit back and let amazing stuff come through in our creativity. I mean, It's not some giant concept that's far off, and that's the problem is the self-help industry presents this stuff way too far off. George Carlin was a great example of the public dying to grow. The public wanted to be self-aware. But then, you know, they look at our transformation world and everyone talks so bizarrely and far away, and it's too, when I say universe, I don't necessarily mean some invisible force. I just mean you could hear what I'm saying and be an atheist or a Christian or whatever and understand that there's just two yous, the creative you and the consumer you. And That's it. Go to the creative you.
Awesome.
You know?
So we have another question from Marie, who posted on our Facebook page, and she said, what's your best opener to get rapport with your audience?
So it's so funny because, once again, that implies that my content is better than me, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you need something to open. So people always do that. They go to a job interview and they say, what's the right thing to start with? And if you don't have a right thing to start with and you really are okay with that, you suddenly can go on and you have space to comment on the room, what just happened on stage, if someone's cell phone rings, whatever happens, that becomes the content because the rapport is really in saying what the audience was already thinking. So if I walk onto a stage and something falls over behind me and I had planned that I have to have the right joke, I wouldn't even comment on that. But if everyone sees a stage fall apart behind me and I comment on that, now I'm saying what we're all thinking, and I get amazing rapport with the audience because I'm connecting with them at the level of what they're really thinking. That's why moments with hecklers are so big, or that's why moments in the moment are so big, because Louis C.K. is a great comic who's just saying really what everyone's always thinking. But most of us have trained ourselves to not say what we're thinking, but instead try to say the right thing. So we get in an elevator with someone and we think, I really want to say hi to this person. And then we say something stupid like, the weather is nice out, and the person doesn't care at all. But if you instead just looked at them and said, I'm trying to come up with the right thing to say to you, you've now opened a conversation for real from your heart. And so when I start, I just start. And there's no joke that I need or no sentence that I need to get the audience to like me. I'm going to say the thing that I feel like saying right off the bat, and whatever, I will never know what it is. You know, it'll just show up when I walk on stage.
Yeah, I think that's what I just love about the Evolve Out Loud tour and listening to it on your KyleCease.com site is that you come out right at the beginning and you say, I have no idea what we're going to do over the next couple of days, and it's just going to come out, and you can feel it just pouring out of you, and it's so authentic.
Thank you. Yeah. And people go, I wish I could do that. And I go, you do that all day. That's how you are everywhere. You don't have a set list for almost everything you do. Your only problem is you imply that the stage is more important than everything else you do in your mind. So you put yourself in lack, and then you try to fix the lack by putting the right content together.
Right.
But
right.
Understand that lack doesn't exist.
Well, yeah. So much conditioning there on that, for sure. So
yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It's conditioning, but we fall in love with it and it leaves immediately. What's so cool about us as humans is you can undo 50 years of conditioning in a second. Most people think it takes another 50 years to undo it. No, it's, as Michael Beckwith phrases it, you've been holding a basketball underwater for years. It would be easier to just let go of it, but you're so good and used to holding the basketball under that you're actually scared to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it goes back to what you're saying about the balloon and knocking it down. Like, yeah. Even with, you know, raw foods, like when you start eating raw foods, you feel lighter, and there's mm-hmm. that actual feeling of feeling lighter, and that it scares a lot of people, that feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's horrifying to people because they think who they are is the limitation. So since they're identified with the limitation, it would mean death to them to become happy and free. But if they end up experiencing being happy and free for a while,
I'm going to listen to this again. You know, it's so great to be a part of this conversation. Thank you.
No, it's true. It's fun. Yeah, thank you.
So we have another question. What's
that?
Rachel, are you there? I don't know if we lost Rachel on that.
I'm still here.
Okay.
I just heard I was reconnected.
There we go. Did you say we had another question, Rachel?
Yeah. It's where did you learn your craft to deliver inspiration and humor?
Wouldn't it be funny if I just answered with a city? Like, like if I was just like, oh,
yeah.
that was in Chicago.
Yeah.
Next question. But that answer would be as ridiculous as so many questions we ask because we think that the method is the way to do it. In other words, like I was with a friend of mine, Dr. Sue Mortar, who's an amazing speaker, and I said, "So, how did you guys meet?" She was with her wife and her girlfriend. I can't remember. I said, "How'd you guys meet?" And she said, "We were at an event 8 years ago, and she was running this event and everything, and we became close and everything." And I said, "Okay, so if I want a girlfriend, I have to find someone who's running an event." Now, obviously, I'm making a joke, but that's how most people think. They go, "How did you do that?" And then you tell them, and then they go, "Okay, so I have to go do that. Like, I have to meditate that way, or I have to go to the Tony Robbins convention, or I have to do it." No, I was the factor. It's me. That just happened to be the way that it happened. And so many people think it's in some method somewhere else, and they give all the power to, "Oh, I guess I have to do it that way." And they just, once again, block their connection to themselves. It's crazy. But for me, I don't see myself as a comic or a transformational speaker as much as I see I'm here to express my truth to myself. And sometimes it'll come out funny because I'm living in the moment, and sometimes it'll come out as a transformation. Everyone has all of these abilities. They just don't believe they do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you, does it ever bother you, and I'm sure it doesn't, but like, what if you're wrong? Like, you, as you said, like, your beliefs change every day. So you're not your beliefs, but, you know, you're talking one thing one day, and then something comes out, and it disproves things that you thought were true. How does that make you feel, like? I think I have that fear of being wrong or something. And that's probably the analytical training in me, you know, so much math and science, and 2 + 2 = 4. And this is a lot less exact. Like, when you get into the spiritual concepts.
I don't feel that I am my content. So whatever comes through via guidance. And I don't ever feel wrong. Like, I don't feel right either. I just say what I'm discovering. And there isn't really room for too much right or wrong, but everything I believe does change, so I don't have too much of an attachment to anything I say because I know that it all changes. So if something does turn out to be not true, I don't even know how that would happen because I feel like the way that the things are coming through, they just kind of are coming through as evidence that seem to support, you know, just like that there's two us's, right? Like, I don't say anything unless I see proof of it, like, that there's a you that's giving the advice and the you that learns from it. We all know that. That'll never be proven wrong. So I don't think that I feel, and I don't feel attached to too much content. I feel attached to what's coming through. And I'm sorry, I feel attached to that it's coming through me. And I just allow. And so there doesn't feel, I don't know if that makes sense, but there, If there did turn out to be something that I was wrong about, like, on a literal sense, like, how exciting. I learned a new thing. You know, mm-hmm. like people said to me once, did you, how many times have you failed? And I realized that word now was out of my channel. Like I didn't get how you would fail ever, because your measure of success would only be then if you can fail. Your problem isn't that you failed. Your problem is that your measure of success was a specific external result. That would be the only way you could fail, is if your way of success is, if you said, I have to have a, do an event and there's 100,000 people there, and if I don't, then I fail. That's the only way you could measure failing. But if you understand that everything is just here for your evolvement, every time you feel tense or stressed, that means you're supposed to learn something new. That's just a steering wheel. You know, you don't feel like you failed when you go on a road trip and you find a detour. You just go around it. You know, you'll go, oh, well, we can't go to Canada. There's a detour here. We failed at going to Canada. You just turn around or you go around it. So the same way, I don't feel like I'm wrong. I don't feel like I'm right. I don't feel like there's a specific external goal. I don't feel that I just am here to say what's coming through and truly enjoy the process of this stuff coming through.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, we love how it comes through you because it is so darn funny and you're so in the moment. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. And you have a live event coming up in LA. I think, what, one of them at least is sold out already, or are there still tickets? Or?
Yeah, we have one. We have one this weekend. It's sold out. And then we have another one March 21st and 22nd. And there's tickets for that still. And I think that they're cheap. You know, my events are cheap, and you get so much out of it, too. They're $3.99 a ticket, right? Yeah, I'm with my team. I'm like, right? They're $3.99. but they're cheap. You know, I don't do these for thousands of dollars because I want – if you don't want that price, write us. I don't care. We just want to fill the room. You know, mm-hmm. we just want to have the room full of amazing people. Write us and tell us what you want to do it for, and we'll make a deal with you. We don't care because we're just here to grow, and I always want to do this. And you can tell from the fact that when my time was up with you and I said, can we do more? Can we take questions? That I would do this for free anytime because I love doing it.
I know. You didn't hear my secret clapping when you said that. It was like, oh, yay.
I'm in love with it.
Any chance you'll come to the East Coast and do a tour? Because that's where I am. I know Rachel's more, she's out in Arizona, but I'd love to have you out on the East Coast, and I'd help you with that if we can get you out here.
Yes. We needed to hear what you just said. Yes. Would you connect with Carrie after this, and let's put something together with you? Because we had just talked about doing an event in Seattle and New York and you know, putting seven or eight of them together this year in different cities. And if we got a good support base from something on the East Coast, we, of course, would work with you, and maybe we could work together filling it and do something really special over there. I would love to.
Absolutely. I would love it. I think there's so much need for it, you know, out here. And, so I will hook up with Carrie after. That's great.
Awesome. You took that step to have me on the show. Like, who knew all the possibilities that are going to start sprouting from this, right? Like,
I know.
It's just awesome. It's everywhere.
And you have your awesome Kylego technique exercise, and a few minutes before the show started, I used it, and my daughter's home today. We have 2 feet of snow that landed here in the last couple of days, and so no school, and I said to my daughter, I said, do you remember when I interviewed Kyle Thief with Rachel and it went really well and I just did your whole thing and got in that vibration? I said, and at the end, we talked about working together or doing something. You know, and see?
Yeah.
That technique, you know, just getting into the vibration, totally works.
There's nothing cooler than realizing that I'm handing people a technique that's helping them work with me.
Yes, to work with you. I Kylego with Kyle.
I should use it on my, when we go on a date, I'll just say to her, just say, I fell in love with Kyle. Like, I didn't want to give him a restraining order. I remember when he finally, you know, I finally loved him and wanted to cuddle with him and take him out. Just no restraining order this time. For the people might not know about this technique, but it's really, really cool. I mean, I was on my way to an audition and I had been in my head about the audition, and I decided to talk about the audition coming up as if it had already happened. So on my way to the audition, I said, I remember when I went in there and knocked it out of the park, and it was so funny, and it was so good. And my mind was, like, replacing the fear with creativity and possibility. And we always hear to envision what we want, but usually we make the vision in the future, so we're actually analyzing if it's working. But if you make a vision past tense, your mind stores it as fact. So because everything that happened in the past is true to you. So if you go, I remember when we had the event in New York last year, and we pretend like this event coming up was last year, and we sold out a 1,000-seater, and you and I, we filled out a 1,000-seater. We made it totally affordable, and everyone came, like, you know, right there, it already is starting versus could we do this? You know, and now it's like, of course, we knocked it out of the park. And you end up feeling the feeling of it being done, and you want to match that feeling for real. So it's an amazing process.
It is. And in the end, it all happens in the now, which is now. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
Awesome.
I know, it's crazy.
Crazy stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so thrilled that we got to talk to you and possibly plan another event for more people to come to, and hopefully people will go to your website and learn about ways to connect with you that fit with them. Thank you so much for coming.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you for having me. You guys were awesome. I had a wonderful time with you. And remember to, when you're putting that list together of the people you want to invite, I really recommend invite only the people that you want and don't go for the people that you just think you can get. Only,
yep.
In fact, cut out the people that you just think you can get but aren't really excited about, and really bring in the greatest, because one thing people don't realize is the greatest in the world are some of the most giving people on the planet. And the higher the vibration, the higher they are, the more they want to contribute, the more giving they are, and the less people that ask them, because they think what you were talking about earlier, that they can't get them. And the, you know, the Michael Beckwiths and the Sue Morgers and the Eckhart Tolles of the world, you know, they're really loving, accessible people in some ways. But you got to be willing to be on that channel too. You know, you got to be on that channel of also really contributing and not moving from a place of lack. Like, we can only get this person, because the lower the vibration of the person, the more hoarding they are, the more what can I get, the more I need to know that I'll see some results first. And my offer to you is change your channel and go to a place where you are only connecting and on the same channel as the greatest, and make this show incredible by cutting off the asking of the fear-based world and asking the people that really you want to have. And that's it. Don't consider anything else.
Awesome advice.
Excellent
and that's
advice.
I feel like that's what Rachel and I have been doing with our show. And so thank you for confirming that and reminding us. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, the people that are really there can't stop. Like, I can't stop. I was supposed to be off an hour ago, and I'm just like, I can't stop. We love doing this. So thank you for the opportunity to share my voice, and I hope that your listeners got something out of it, and I hope you guys enjoyed it, because I sure did.
Yeah, we absolutely did. Thanks again, and we'll be speaking to you very soon.
Awesome.
Thanks
so
Kyle.
Much, you guys. You have to come
right.
to an event for me.
Much
Sounds
love.
Great.
Awesome. All right, well, have a great day, you guys.
You
Thank
too.
You. Same to you.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, guys. Well, Soulfulpreneur listeners, that was amazing. Thank you for listening. And Megan, you have any final words?
Oh, wow. He's so much fun.
Yeah,
and
I feel so peaceful.
He's just, I mean, it was just right what he said at the end, where, you know, the advice he gave us on, well, you know, people we want to ask to be on the show or events we want to create and who we want to invite, you can take that the same just with your life. Who do you really want to be friends with? Who really makes you feel good? Who really do you want to spend your time with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Start hanging out with those people, and it snowballs, so...
Yeah, well,
great.
We did that. And, you know, before the beginning of the year, Megan and I decided that we were just going to get into that vibration of having the show right where we want it, and we were just going to own it and only ask people that are truly exciting, like Robert Sheinfeld and Sonia Choquette and Julia Sante and Kyle Cease, and every one of them has said yes. And ever
yeah.
since then, we've had that amazing show that was the vibration that we were wanting to create, and it's really just been incredible. So, yeah. Don't be afraid to do that for yourself.
Yep. With everything from work to play.
Yep.
Get into that vibration. So, well, awesome. Well, amazingly, we have yet another fabulous show next week with author and psychic medium Julia Asante. And we'll be talking about her book. That was our first book club for 2015. We chose The Last Frontier, Transforming Our Fear of Death. And she will be on next week. And it should be a super interesting discussion about life and death and the afterlife, what happens when you die, where are loved ones, what are ghosts, what are spirits, you know, all of that. So it should be a really special show. So I'm looking forward to that.
Fabulous. So before we go, I do want to remind you that we're part of the Enlightenment Evolution Network, and you can find out about all of our shows on Facebook.com. Just search for Enlightenment Evolution Network, and all of our shows are archived on YouTube, and you can go listen to them. And our show is at soulfulpreneur.com and iTunes and Stitcher and Blog Talk. So we're everywhere. You can find us. And thank you so, so, so much for listening.
Thanks, Rachel. Totally fun. Thanks, Kyle.
Lots of love, everybody.